Look with me this morning at Luke chapter 12. Luke chapter 12. I want to read a passage here and then we'll start commenting on it. In Luke chapter 12, verse 1, it says verse 22. I was backing up too far there. 22. Then he said to his disciples, "Therefore I say to you, do not worry about your life, what you will eat, nor about the body, what you will put on. Life is more than food, and the body is more than clothing. Consider the ravens, for they neither sow nor reap, which have neither storehouse nor barn, and God feeds them. Of how much more value are you than the birds? And which of you, by worrying, can add one cubit to his stature? If you then are not able to do the least, why are you anxious for the rest? Consider the lilies, how they grow. They neither toil nor spin. And yet I say to you, even Solomon in all his glory was not arrayed like one of these. If then God so clothes the grass which today is in the field and tomorrow is thrown into the oven, how much more will he clothe you, O you of little faith? And do not seek what you should eat or what you should drink, nor have an anxious mind. For all these things the nations of the world seek after. And your Father knows that you need these things. But seek the kingdom of God, and all these things shall be added to you. Do not fear, little flock, for it is your Father's good pleasure to give you the kingdom." Praise God. So I want to talk to us today about being free from fear and worry. Living free, being free and living free from fear and worry. So here Jesus, and to sum it up, Jesus tells us not to worry. He tells us, first of all, he says, consider the ravens. And the reason he tells us to look at the ravens and think about the ravens or the birds is they don't worry about their food, right? No. God feeds them. God takes care of them. God feeds them. I've heard it said that, you know, there are more bananas in the jungle that rot and fall to the ground that are never eaten than all the monkeys in the world could eat.
Amen.
God is a God of abundance. He provides. Amen. He provides food. Amen. So he says, don't worry about food. Don't worry about what you're going to eat. Don't worry about how you're going to pay for your groceries. Don't worry about that. And then he says, consider the lilies. And he said, look at the lilies. Look at the flowers. And he said, God, that's God's clothing. When the beauty and the brightness of and the colors of the flowers, that's God clothing them. And he says, so don't you think he's going to clothe you? Don't worry about clothing. Amen. In the Message Bible, in verse 28 of Luke 12, it says, if God gives such attention to the wildflowers, most of them never even seen, don't you think he'll attend to you, take pride in you, do his best for you? How many of you have ever seen an ugly flower? Has anybody ever seen an ugly flower? You know, sometimes they can wither, I understand that, but at some point they were beautiful. You ever seen, so you've never seen, and I haven't either, an ugly flower where somebody came along and said, yeah, you know, God did that. He didn't do such a good job, did he? That's pretty ugly. It's pretty pathetic. It's pretty pitiful. You know, yeah, God did. There's colors that man can't produce, that man can't recreate. Yep. That God and the folks that have been to heaven and had a glimpse of heaven and come back, and they said, well, "There's colors up there that we don't even have here." So that's our God.
Amen.
And he says, "Don't you think?" He says, "If God gives such attention to the wildflowers, and most of them are never even seen," he says, "Don't you think that he'll attend to you?"
Yeah.
That he'll take pride in you and do his best for you.
Amen.
So just as nobody has said, that's a pretty pitiful flower. Yeah, God did that. In the same way, as we look at a human being, yeah, the reason they're in that shape is God couldn't take care of them. God created them, all right, but he couldn't provide for them. He couldn't take care of them.
That's not true.
If we're in that shape, it's not because God did that to us, or God failed to, or wasn't able to, or didn't have the power to provide for us. It's because we got caught up in fear and worry and blocked ourselves from receiving what He wanted to do for us. Yes. Amen?
Amen?
Because if we leave it to God, if we agree with God, and if we trust in God, He'll attend to us, yes, as the Scripture says.
Amen.
He'll take pride in us, and He'll do His best for us. Amen?
Amen.
And Jesus also said in back in the New King James, in verse 28, He says, how much more will He clothe you? Notice the last phrase there, O you of little faith. O you of little faith. So He gives us a clue here. He gives us a clue that worry, that if we have worry in our lives, if worry is dominating our lives, am I in the right place this morning? Or is anybody dealing with this? Or have y'all all moved beyond that? Is everybody in here? You just don't worry. You're never tempted to worry at all. Okay, I'm just checking to make sure I'm preaching to the right crowd today. Okay. All right, just want to make sure. So He says, so we got a clue here that if we're worrying, it's a result of little faith. It's a result that we've not allowed our faith to rise up. And so in order to not worry, then what I need to concentrate on is getting into faith.
Amen.
And staying in faith.
Yes.
If I'll get into faith and if I'll stay in faith, then I can live a life free from worry.
Amen.
Amen.
Amen. Everybody look this way for a minute.
Amen.
Listen, God wants you to live your life every day, every moment of your life free from worry.
Amen.
What if I told you that beginning today and for the rest of your life, you'll never have to worry again?
Amen.
Would that be good news to anybody?
Yes. Hallelujah.
Well,
yes.
It's true. It's absolutely true. God doesn't want you to worry another moment, another second in your life.
Amen.
Today, if you were worried when you came in here today, today is the end. It can be. It's up to you. But today can be the end of worry in your life forever.
Hallelujah.
Amen.
Isn't that good news?
Amen.
Wouldn't life be so much better if we weren't dogged with worry? Amen? Well, it can be. It can be. Amen. And we need to concentrate on getting into faith and staying in faith. Well, the Bible tells us the key to doing that. It says in Romans 10:17 that faith comes by hearing, and hearing by the Word of God. So if I'll continually hear what God is saying, and I'll focus on that, and I'll believe that, that'll get me in faith, and I can be free from worry. But the opposite statement of that is true as well. Faith comes by hearing the Word of God, but I got news for you. Faith leaves by hearing also. I said faith leaves by hearing also. Faith leaves by, if faith comes by hearing the Word of God, what would we hear for faith to leave by? Faith leaves by hearing the words of the devil. Words of fear. Words of worry. Look at, again, going back to the message in Luke 12. Look at verse 31. In Luke 12, 31, in the message, he says, I want the message. There we go. Steep yourself in God reality. Steep yourself. Do you know what steep means? Steep in this verse doesn't mean like that hill is steep that I need to climb. Steep means like, you know, does anybody ever steep tea?
Yes.
Making tea?
Yes.
What does that mean? It means you take the tea bag and you submerse it and you soak it in the hot water, right? That's how you submerse it and you soak it. So submerse yourself, soak yourself in God reality.
Amen.
What is God reality? Well, that's His Word.
Yes.
So soak yourself, saturate yourself in the Word of God. Now we do have a part to play, amen. We do have something to do about it. And so this is where we have to start. Soak yourself, saturate yourself with God reality or with the Word of God. Let's go on here. He says, steep yourself in God reality, God initiative, God provisions. So I'm going to soak myself in the Word of God. I'm going to soak myself in God initiative. Instead of worrying about my stuff, instead of worrying about my life, I'm going to say, hey, God, instead of worrying, I think instead I'm going to get with Your program.
Amen.
What are You doing in the earth today, and how can I be a part of it?
Yes, amen.
Jesus said it this way, seek first the kingdom of God and his righteousness and all the things will be added to you. Steep yourself in God reality, God initiative, God provisions. There are God provisions set aside for you and me. Amen? We need to focus on that. We need to expect that. You'll find all your everyday human concerns will be met. If I will steep myself, if I'll saturate myself and soak myself in God reality, in His Word, in God initiative, in God provisions, then I'll find that all my everyday human concerns will be met. Amen?
Amen.
And yours will be too. I like what I read, a devotional book called Sparkling Gems from the Greek. It's written by Rick Renner. He's really an apostle. And God has used him in an amazing way in Eastern Europe and the former Soviet Union. To establish church, many, I don't know how many hundreds of churches he's established and how many pastors that look to him as their pastor, but he's done it, he and his wife have done an amazing work there over the last 20 or so years. But in his devotional book, I read a statement the other day, really powerful, and I want to share it with you. I took it personally, I hope you will. It's time for you to quit worrying and start believing that Jesus meant what he said. Why don't you turn to your neighbor and say that to them? Say, it's time for you, to quit worrying and start believing that Jesus meant what he said. Amen. I think I'll follow that advice. How about you?
Yes.
Amen. Look with me at John chapter 14. In John 14, verse 27, Jesus says this. He says, peace I leave with you, my peace I give to you. Not as the world gives, do I give to you. Now, this is right before he went to the cross. So he's giving his disciples the final instructions before he goes to the cross. And he says, guys, I'm leaving my peace with you. I'm giving my peace to you. I'm not as the world gives, not the world's kind of peace, but it's a deeper peace. It's a greater peace than that. And then he says this. He says, let not your heart be troubled, neither let it be afraid. So another way to say, let not your heart be troubled is don't worry, right? Your heart is troubled when you worry. And then he says, neither let it be afraid. So here's where we get, this is hence the title today, free from fear and worry. Because fear and worry go together. Fear and worry go together. As I thought about this, I'll throw this out for you. This is my definition, or this is my assessment of it. Worry is more about the small thing, or what we would consider small things. They're significant to us. That's why we worry about them. But fear would be more of a life-threatening. If you get a report that you have cancer, you don't worry about that. You fear that, don't you? That produces fear. Now, we're not going to do either one. Amen. Amen. We're going to believe God. Amen. And we're going to trust God. But that's where something more life-threatening or something more sudden, that would be something that would produce fear, right? Okay, can we agree on that?
Yes.
More of the smaller things, the annoying things, that's the stuff that we tend to worry about, but the really crisis things, that's what the devil tries to use to produce fear in us. But Jesus said concerning both, he said, let not your heart be troubled, neither let it be afraid. Now, who's he telling to do that? His disciples, and that includes us, right? So Jesus is looking to you, looking at me, and he says, you let not your heart be troubled. Don't you let your heart be troubled. You have a responsibility here. Amen? Not too many people are signing up for this. Well, I don't want any responsibility. You know, I was talking with someone the other day about that, that's why a lot of people don't particularly embrace the Word of Faith message, because there's a degree of responsibility.
Yeah.
Amen?
Yes.
We have, and a lot of people rather say, oh, no, I'll just leave that off on God. You know, whatever will be, and God's sovereign and all of that. Well, that's not exactly scriptural. In fact, it's not at all scriptural. Amen?
Amen?
We have a responsibility. Here it is right here. Jesus said, you let not your heart be troubled. But before that, he said, I'm giving you my peace. So He gives us the tools. He gives us the provision. He gives us everything we need so we can do this. He doesn't ask us to do something that's impossible for us to do. Well, Pastor, it's just impossible for me not to worry. Not according to Jesus.
Amen.
Come on.
Amen.
Jesus said, let not your heart be troubled, neither let it be afraid. So that means I can choose not to be troubled, not to worry, and I can choose not to yield to fear.
Amen.
And you can too. Amen?
Amen.
Praise God. All right. And so as we said, that means how we're going to do that means what we're going to do is we're going to get in faith and we're going to stay in faith. And another way of saying that is we're going to trust God.
Amen.
Another way of saying faith or believing is trusting God.
Amen.
You know, sometimes we think of trust as being more passive, but it's powerful. Look at what the Scripture says about that. Proverbs 3, verse 5. The Scripture says here, trust in the Lord with all your heart and lean not on your own understanding. When do we fall into worry? When we start leaning to our own understanding. When we start in our mind trying to figure out how we're going to fix this, try to figure out how we're going to take care of this, try to figure out how we're going to pay this off, try to figure out how we're going to do this, try to figure out how we're going to overcome this. Trust in the Lord with all your heart and lean not to your own understanding. There's some stuff you can't figure it out in your mind.
That's right.
And you're really being prideful when you do that.
Yes.
There are times where we just need to say, God, that's too big for me. I heard Keith Moore was preaching along these lines this morning. And he said, God did not design you and me. God did not design the human body to carry worry and care.
Yeah.
You're not designed to carry it. I love, there's an old song the Rhema singers and band used to sing. These hands were meant to praise the Lord. These hands were not meant to carry cares.
Amen.
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 Isn't that true?
Yes.
Amen. I like Miss Ann's on a crusade. When people tell her, be careful, she says, I'm not going to do it. I'm not taking that care. Amen. I'm not taking that care. I like that. Praise God. Amen. Yeah, when people say, take care, she says, no, thank you. No, I'm casting my cares. Amen.
Amen.
We're going to read that scripture in a minute. But trust in the Lord with all your heart and lean not to your own understanding. Verse 6, in all your ways acknowledge Him and He shall direct your paths.
Amen.
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 So Jesus told us not to worry. We see it here in Proverbs, trusting in the Lord, not leaning on our own understanding. And then the Apostle Paul, he told us not to worry as well. Look at Philippians 4. Look at what he says here. In Philippians 4, verse 6, he says, be anxious for nothing unless it's something really major. And then we understand. I mean, you got to worry about some things. I mean, if you don't worry about that, you don't have good sense. That's what the world will tell you. That's what a lot of Christians will tell you. But the Bible tells, what are we going to believe? Amen. The Bible tells us, be anxious for
nothing.
Be anxious for nothing, but in everything, by prayer and supplication with thanksgiving, let your request be made known to God. So again, he doesn't just tell us, don't worry, but he tells us how. Thank God. He tells us how not to worry.
Amen.
Amen. Be anxious for nothing. Don't worry. Don't have any anxiety. Don't have any worry about anything. Be anxious for nothing. Isn't it wonderful to get free from worry?
Amen.
Amen. If we'll do what the Word of God is telling us today, we can live free from worry. Now, I'm excited to live the rest of my life free from worry.
Amen.
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 Hallelujah. I hope you are. Amen.
Amen.
Be anxious for nothing. Well, what am I going to do then? Well, in everything, by prayer, he tells us, in everything, by prayer and supplication with thanksgiving, let your request be made known to God. So instead of worrying, I'm going to let my request be made known to God.
That's right.
Mr. Al, you were in the military for how many years did you tell?
44
years, 11 months,
27
days in the military. All right. And then after that, he was a college professor. And I'm sure in both of those situations, you had opportunity where you needed materials, where you needed supplies, And did you sit around worrying? Did you sit around crying? Did you go to your superiors and say, I can't do my job because I don't have what I need? Or did you fill out a requisition? I'm sure you did that many times, didn't you? Well, that's exactly what God is telling us to do. He's telling us, fill out a requisite. Don't cry about it. Don't worry about it. You know, don't wring your hands about it. Fill out a requisition. Let your request be made known to God. If you need stuff to do your job with, then fill out a requisition. Amen. Fill out a requisition. Claim what belongs to you. You know, if you went to your superior and you cried and complained about it, he probably came back with something like this. Well, Al, I can't do anything for you until you know the proper channels to go through. Fill out the requisition. That's all you've got to do. Am I telling the truth there?
Yeah.
Okay. Well, God is the same way. He says, look, I'd like to help you, but the way you're going about it, I can't help you if you're full of worry and fear about this. Fill out a requisition. I've told you what to do. Find promises in my word that I've given you and bring that to me in the form of a request.
Amen.
Make a requisition.
Amen.
Let your request be made known to God. Amen. Amen. That is good. Amen.
Yes.
And so he says, when we do that, then the next verse says, and verse 7, and the peace of God, which surpasses all understanding, will guard. I like that. The Amplified Bible says, will garrison and mount guard.
Amen.
Over your hearts.
Hallelujah.
And minds through Jesus Christ, or through Christ Jesus. Amen? Hallelujah. That's how to stay in the peace of God. Don't worry. Don't be anxious. Fill out a requisition. Find promises in the Word of God that cover. I'm not saying you will never be tempted to worry. Of course we'll be tempted to worry. Of course we'll face situations where we'll want to take that care upon ourselves. But don't do that. Instead of taking that care on yourself, find a promise from God's Word and take it to the Lord in prayer and say, Father, your Word says this.
Amen.
Your Word says this. I'm bringing you this promise. You said this in your Word, and I'm tempted to worry here, but I'm not going to worry about it because you gave me a promise. You said you'd take care of this. You said you'd supply the need. You said that I'm already healed. Whatever the situation.
Amen.
You said you'd restore to me the years the locust has eaten. I'm not going to worry about all that. You said you'd restore that. Hallelujah. Whatever it is, find a promise. Amen. If you'll get serious about it, I promise you he'll lead you to promises in his word. The Holy Spirit will. And you can take that and make a requisition, make a request to God. And when you know it, and you don't have to wait till you see the manifestation. The moment you release your faith, you say, you know, it's done. God's heard me. I've prayed according to His will. He's heard me. And if I know He's heard me, I know I have it, according to 1 John 5. Amen. And the peace of God comes and keeps you in that place of peace. Amen.
Amen.
Glory to God. Amen. Well, not only did Paul tell us not to worry, the Apostle Peter told us the same thing. Look at 1 Peter chapter 5, verse 6. 1 Peter 5, 6. He says, therefore, humble yourselves under the mighty hand of God, that He may exalt you in due time. How do I humble myself under the mighty hand of God? And I like that phrase, the mighty hand of God. We're going to talk about that for a moment. But he says, humble yourself under the mighty hand of God, that He may exalt you in due time. How do I do that? How do I humble myself? By rolling around on the floor and saying, oh, God, I'm so unworthy. I'm such a worm. I'm so no good. Is that humbling ourselves? No, that's not humbling ourselves. How do we humble ourselves? Well, the next verse says, casting all your care upon Him, for He cares for you. It's true, as I said earlier, I kind of got ahead of myself. It's really an act of pride when we worry, because what we're saying is, I don't need you, God. I can figure this out. I can figure this out by worrying about it. But it's an act of humility when we say, Father, this is too big for me. I'm giving it to you. I don't know how to fix it. I don't know how to take care of it. I humble myself before you, and I trust you to fix it. And I, Lord, I can't fix it. I've tried, and I've just made it worse. Father, would you please fix it?
Amen.
That's casting your care over on Him.
Amen.
Amen. That's true humility. And the Bible says when we humble ourselves, we come under. I love this. When we humble ourselves, we come underneath the mighty hand of God. Amen. Isn't that great?
Yes.
Hallelujah. He has a mighty hand that we can come under. Amen? Amen? A mighty hand of protection. A mighty hand of provision. A mighty hand of deliverance. Whatever you need, God has a mighty hand that we can come under.
Amen.
Humble yourself under the mighty hand of God.
Yes.
Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Casting all your care on Him.
Dang.
Well, how can I do that? For He cares for you. The reason that I can freely, and to cast, this is not casting your cares over on the Lord. Okay, Lord, you take it. When we worry, we're like this. And God's going to let us hold on. He proved He's still my big brother. He jerked it away from me. He's stronger than me. I'll get you later. I'll meet you on the basketball court. This is what it means to cast.
Amen.
There you go, God. You take it. It means to throw. It means to completely let it go, and He takes it. Amen?
Amen.
Hallelujah. All right. The Bible says, but we can do that because He cares for us. The Amplified says He cares for us watchfully and affectionately.
Amen.
That's your Heavenly Father. He cares about you watchfully and affectionately. Amen? Now let's keep reading what Peter says here, because I think what he says next is tied in to what he just said. He said, cast all your care upon Him because He cares for you. In the very next verse, verse 8, he says, be sober, be vigilant, because your adversary, the devil, walks about like a roaring lion. Notice this next phrase, seeking whom he may devour. Now, the devil can't just come up and devour you and me unless we give him access. How do we give him access? Worry and fear, I think, are the two main doors that we open. The devil is walking about like a roaring lion. You know, the roar of a lion never killed any animal. Never killed a gazelle or whatever they hunt. A roar of a lion never killed them. But you know what the roar of a lion did? It instilled fear. It instilled fear. The roar of the devil can't kill you, but he uses it to try to instill fear. And if he can instill fear in us and get us to act out of that fear instead of acting in faith, then that's the avenue he needs to slip in. Be sober, be vigilant, because your adversary, the devil, walks about like a roaring lion, seeking whom he may devour. Resist him. Next verse says, resist him steadfast in the faith. Well, how do I resist the devil? The way I resist the devil is by resisting fear and worry. Because that's the two main tools he uses to get access into our lives. Resist him steadfast in the faith. Remember what we said? Jesus said, why are you worried, O you of little faith? So if I get in faith, then I won't be worried. Resist him steadfast in the faith, knowing that the same sufferings are experienced by your brotherhood in the world. Everybody has to deal with this. And let me tell you something. When you walk out of here today, you know, the devil's not sitting here, you know, this morning feeling depressed and defeated and saying, well, I'm just going to give up on those people. I'm not even going to tempt them to worry again.
Wow.
You may, I'm not prophesying anything over you, but you may face your greatest challenges to worry after you walk out of here today. But what are you going to do? What are you going to do? You're going to act on the Word? Huh? You're going to do what God says? Amen? All right. Praise God. Praise God. So what do we worry about? What are the things that we tend to worry about? We tend to worry about provision, don't we? We tend to worry about our health. We tend to worry about our family and our children. We tend to worry about, does anybody ever worry about what other people think about you? We tend to worry about that, don't we? If we're all in good shape, we tend to worry about I just don't know what our nation is coming to. Well, I just know what's going to happen, you know. You know, we tend to worry about the state of the nation, the state of the world. But, you know, worry, Jesus made it very clear that worry won't accomplish anything. Like Keith Moore was talking about this morning. He said, it's totally useless. It's totally, look at this verse, Luke 12, 25 and 26. This is out of the New Living. Jesus said, can all your worries add a single moment to your life? Exactly. It not only will not add anything to your life, but it will take away from your life. It'll take time away. It'll age you. Amen? Well, let's paraphrase this. Can all your worries add a single dollar to your bank account?
No.
So if you're worried about your money, if you're worried about how you're going to pay your bills, will worrying add a dollar to your bank account?
No.
Will worry pay off that bill?
No.
Will worry? Yeah. If it would, we'd all be rich. The church would, because we've worried so much. Yeah, in the past. Has anybody ever worried about your children? Did worry ever straighten them out? Did worrying about your children ever help your children?
No.
I've shared this with you before. You know, one of our children had a tremendous battle with addiction. And many nights I'd wake up in the middle of the night wondering where he was at, wondering if he was alive, wondering if he was all right, and the devil telling me, no, he's not. He's dead. You know, he's bound. I've got him forever. That's tormenting. That's tormenting. It was not until we stopped worrying and started believing the Word of God that his life started turning around.
Hallelujah.
And thank God.
Yes.
Thank God his life has turned around.
Amen.
Amen. But I'm telling you, worry, all the worrying that I did or was tempted to do never helped him, never helped him get delivered, never helped him get free, never helped him get healed, but God did when we started believing.
Amen?
Amen.
Worry can't
accomplish anything.
Right.
Amen?
Amen.
And if Jesus said that in verse 26, and if worry can't accomplish a little thing like that, adding one moment to your life, what's the use of worrying over bigger things? Well, Pastor, this is something small, so I'm not going to worry about that. But I mean, this is big, so I think I need to worry about that. Well, Jesus said, why? If worrying won't help with the little things, then what good is it going to do with the big thing? Amen? Really, really, fear and worry, when we talk about fear and worry, we're talking about forces that are opposite faith and hope. You know, faith, the way faith works, faith and hope, but I'm talking about Bible hope now, which is a confident expectation of good. Faith and hope are like, they're like magnets that attract the blessings of God into our lives. That's how faith and hope work. They're like magnets. If you get in faith and if you expect, that attracts the blessings of God into your life.
Amen?
Amen.
Amen.
I heard last night I was listening to the Braves game, and I heard one of the announcers was talking about. Well, he's talking about Dusty Baker. You know, Dusty's he's the manager of the Nationals now.
Yeah. Yes.
Manager of the Nationals now, but Dusty played for the Braves. You know, center fielder for the Braves years ago, and Luke Appling, who was from here and lived here in Cumming, I think he's gone passed away now. I believe he was a Christian, so I think he's gone on to be with the Lord, but he was a Hall of Famer, Major League Hall of Famer. The story that was related last night was that Luke Appling told Dusty Baker, he said, listen what this guy that's about to go to bat, listen what he's going to say to me. And the guy came up and he said, you know, he said, I'll probably ground out to the shortstop. And so he got up there at bat and he grounded out to the shortstop.
Yeah.
He said, he told him, and he didn't use God in this, but he said, if you want to be lucky in this game, he said, you got to think lucky. You got to think lucky. Amen? Faith and hope are like magnets. We can apply that. You know, a lot of times the people in the world tap into spiritual truths and don't realize it. But faith and hope are like magnets that attract the blessings of God into our lives. Surely, the psalmist said, surely goodness and mercy will follow me all the days of my life. That's a statement of faith and hope right there.
Amen.
Amen?
Amen.
Praise God. Now, fear and worry is the equal and opposite force. Fear and worry work the opposite way. They attract the works of the enemy, the works of Satan into our lives. If we're all caught up in worry and in fear, that's going to open the door to all kinds of the works of Satan. And it's going to attract bad things into our life. Stealing, killing, and destroying, all the works of the enemy. I'll prove it to you from the book of Job. In Job chapter 3, verse 25, I think this is the key verse that unlocks understanding of the book of Job. A lot of people have been confused about the book of Job. How could God let that happen? How could God do that to Job? How could all this happen? I think this verse right here is the key verse that unlocks our understanding, a true understanding of the book of Job. Look at Job 3:25. He says, "For the thing I greatly feared has come upon me, and what I dreaded has happened to me." So all this calamity that happened to Job, Job admitted, "Yeah, I've been expecting it. Yeah. I've been expecting it. Something's bound to go wrong." The New Living Translation, look at it, the New Living. "What I always feared has happened to me." Well, Job was an upright man. Job was a righteous man, a godly, tried to live according to the principles of God, but he was bound up in fear, and he admits it right here. Yes. He says, "What I always feared has happened to me. What I dreaded has come true." Isn't that amazing?
Yeah.
So fear and dread are like opposite forces to faith and hope. And another way to say dread is worry. What I always feared has happened to me, and what I dreaded, what I kept worrying about, has come true. Well, the reason it came true, how was it able to come true? Well, it was the devil that was putting those thoughts of fear and worry into Job's mind. And eventually, he took those thoughts. Eventually, he made them his own. He took them. And he Jesus said something about that in Matthew 6:31. Look at what Jesus said. "Therefore, take no thought, saying." Yeah. Stop right there. "Therefore, take no thought, saying." Sorry. Thoughts, the devil can bring thoughts into our minds. But it's up to us whether we take that thought. Yeah. How do you take a thought? By saying it. Yeah. When you say that thought, that's how, then you've taken it. You've made it your own.
Yeah.
Right?
Yeah.
He says, "Why? Therefore, take no thought, saying." So don't, if it's a thought you don't want, don't say it.
Amen.
Don't speak it out of your mouth. Amen. Don't take that thought. Amen. Don't take that negative thought. Don't take that thought of fear and worry by saying it. That's what Job did. That's what Job did. You know, sometimes people say, "Well, if I just had plenty of money, I mean, if I win the Powerball, then I would, all my worries would be over. I wouldn't worry." Well, let me point something out to you. The Bible says that Job was the richest man in all the East. Job had plenty of money. He's afraid he's going to lose it. Guess what? He did. He started worrying that he was going to lose it. So no amount of money can cure the worry problem with you or with me. No amount of money can do. It's not just getting a raise. It's not just getting more money. It's not just, you know, that won't cure worry. Amen. What will cure worry? Doing what Jesus said. Don't do it. Don't worry. Cast the care on Him. Just decide, I'm not going to carry this anymore.
Amen.
I'm not going to worry about this anymore. Amen. It's really that simple. Amen? So the point is this, you and I have to learn not to worry right where we are.
That's right.
Right where we are.
Amen.
We've got a God.
Yes.
We've got a Heavenly Father who feeds us, who clothes us, who cares for us.
Amen?
Amen. I've shared with you briefly. I'm not going to say too much about it because I believe it's turning around, and it is turning around. But the thing, I'll just be honest with you, the thing that I've been tempted probably more than anything to worry about over the last several months has been the church finances. And a couple of times it even got to the point of fear. Yeah, it seemed pretty drastic. So this is where God has had me. And a promise He gave me many months ago, He said, "I'm going to refine you and I'm going to purify you."
Amen.
And any time I've been tempted to worry about this, I say, you know, Lord, this is, and he's not withholding the finances, but in the midst of it, he's wanting me to trust him and not to worry. And this is a part of the refinement that he's doing in me. And I know it is. And I chalk it up to that. And I said, Lord, I'm not going to worry. You're refining me and you're purifying me. You don't want me to worry about this. And so I was worried, you know, I was tempted to worry. I didn't do it, thank God. I'll be honest with you, I didn't. Amen. But I was tempted to worry about would we even have all the money, even though you folks gave generously, that would we have enough even to pull off VBS? Because, like I said, it takes a lot of money to buy all the supplies we bought, all the decorations that we bought, do everything that we did, feed all the kids. There's a lot of money involved. And we have been operating on a pretty tight budget lately. And so I thought, will we even have enough to pull off VBS? And we're canceling our Wednesday night service. That means no offering on Wednesday night as well. You know, those are the thoughts that were coming into my mind that I was tempted to worry about. And I'll just tell you what God did, though. This is beautiful. Yes. We may just do VBS again this week. I don't know. We were not going to. I'm just going to. Don't worry. Don't take that thought. Let me tell you what God did. All right. You know, the Bible says seek first. Jesus said seek first the kingdom of God and all these things will be added to you. Yep. Remember what we preached about last week? The scripture in wherever it was at. I think this was in Luke as well, where Jesus said children are at the center of life in the kingdom. So when we're ministering to children, we're seeking first the kingdom of God. Huh? And what did God say? All these things will be added to you. So here's, let me tell you what happened. This is a good report. So our Sunday offering was pretty good, but I'm still, and the thoughts are like, are we going to have enough to pull this off? Well, Sunday evening, someone sent an offering online. People do this from time to time. An online offering of $370 came in online. Tuesday, I went to the post office and got the mail. And there was $500 in the mail, in money orders. This is, I was telling Royal about this. This is a gentleman that some of you might know who this is, probably not. But years ago, he was living in California. This gentleman that sent the money, he was living in California. He'd never had any contact with the church, and he was not even a Christian. But his son lived here with his mother and father were divorced, and his son lived with his mom. And he was a teenager and was killed in an automobile accident. And we had the funeral here, and his dad came to the funeral, and his dad got saved at the funeral.
Amen.
It's beautiful. And I had the privilege of baptizing him. Some of you know Greg and Sherry Martin. I baptized him in Greg and Sherry Martin's swimming pool. And he lived out of state. He actually lives in Texas now. But ever so often he'll send us money.
Amen.
He'll send us an offering, and usually it's like maybe $100, maybe $180 or something like that. And so I saw the envelope and it had the name on it. So I thought, oh praise God, there's some money, there's an offering, we need it, Lord. And I opened it up and there was a money order for $200 and another one for $200 and another. Amen. He had never sent that. Maybe one time he'd sent that much or more.
Wow.
And so that $500 came in. All right. And then a church member brought their tithes in, $645. They'd been out of town, and they brought their tithes in, $600. And then Wednesday evening, another online offering came in of $500. So that's $2,000. If you add that up, if you're keeping notes, that's $2,015. Now our average Wednesday night offering is about $200. That's 10 times. Can somebody give God praise for that? Amen.
Thank you, Jesus.
Well, see, worrying wouldn't have brought that money in.
That's right.
But God brought it in.
Amen.
God said, you don't worry. You just go minister to the kids. I'll bring it in.
Amen.
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 And the same is true in your life.
Amen.
The same is true. Just get busy doing what He's told you to do. Focus on your work, on your family, on what He's called you to do, and He'll provide. Amen.
Amen.
Praise God. Let's talk about fear just for a moment. Oh, gosh, it's really gotten late here. I'm sorry. Y'all got another just a few minutes? You okay?
Sure.
Well, real quickly, We'll talk about fear just a little bit. 63 times in the Bible, the phrase fear not is used. Did you realize that? 63 times. 63 times in the Bible, God says to you and to me, fear not. Do you think he's trying to tell us something? If he tells us 63 times, fear not. Fear not. Fear not. Amen. 63 times. One case is right here. In Mark chapter 5, verse 35, I think we used this last week, but we'll look at it again. Mark 5, verse 35, it says, while he was still, and guys, y'all can come on back up if you will. While he was still speaking, some came from the ruler of the synagogue's house who said, your daughter is dead. Why trouble the teacher any further? This is the man that had come to Jesus. His daughter was very sick. He said, my daughter's lying at the point of death, but Jesus, you come. If you'll come and lay your hands on her, she will be healed and she will live. Amen. He was in faith. Yes. And so Jesus said, yes, I'll come. And so they're on the way. And while they're on the way to his house, then some messengers come and they said, call it off. Don't have Jesus come. Don't trouble the teacher any further. Your daughter is dead. That would instill fear. And that was the devil's plan to instill fear into this man. And what did Jesus, how did Jesus respond? Verse 36, as soon as Jesus heard the word that was spoken, he said to the ruler of the synagogue, I'm sure he grabbed him by the collar and he looked him in the eyes and he said, do not be afraid, only believe. Do not be afraid, only believe. Don't let those words that you just heard cause fear to drop down in your heart. You're on the right track, sir. Keep believing. Amen. Keep believing. You're on the right track of whatever it is you're trusting God for. Don't allow an evil report to cause you to yield to fear and stop believing. Keep believing, Ray. Amen. Keep believing. You're going to see the fulfillment.
Amen.
Keep believing. Amen. I like the Amplified Bible. In verse 36, it says, overhearing, pull up the Amplified if you would, Amy, if you got that. Overhearing but ignoring what they said. Jesus heard them say, your daughter's dead. He overheard that, but he ignored it. There's some things that you may overhear or hear, or somebody intentionally wants you to hear it, that you're going to have to ignore.
Amen.
In order not to worry and not fear. Overhearing but ignoring what they said, Jesus said to the ruler of the synagogue, do not be seized with alarm and struck with fear, only keep on believing. Turn to your neighbor and say, keep on believing.
Keep on believing.
Oh, glory. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. In other words, Jesus could have said this. He could have said, Jairus, there's one thing I need from you, and that's your faith. I can handle the rest of it. I can take care of the rest of it. Now, one thing that you can't let go of is your faith. Don't stop believing because that's the only thing I need from you. And if I can have your faith to work with, your daughter's going to rise up.
Hallelujah.
And he says the same thing to you and me. Don't stop believing. If I can have your faith to work with, don't let go of your faith. Keep believing because if I can have your faith to work with, I'm going to fix it. I'm going to make it all right.
Amen.
It's going to turn out good. Hallelujah. Amen.
Amen.
Keep on believing. What do we fear? Well, a lot of people, the devil tries to get us to fear the future. Our future is bright.
Amen. Yes.
The future of the church
yes.
is glorious and victorious.
Amen.
What are some other things that the devil tries to get us into fear? Fear of failure. You're not going to be able to do that. You're not going to succeed at that. The Bible says something different. The Bible says, thanks be to God who always... Say it with me. Always causes us to triumph in Christ. Hallelujah. Fear of rejection. The Bible tells us something different. You're accepted in the Beloved. You have a Father in heaven. If God be for us, who can be against us? Hallelujah. Let not your heart be troubled.
Amen.
Neither let it be afraid. It's our responsibility. But I want to do this morning. We can't do it all for you, but I want to help you. If you're here this morning and you've just been just really weighed down with worry and with fear, you've been tormented. The devil's been tormenting you lately through fear and through worry, then I want to pray for you. And Brother Randy Greer used to say, these are jumper cables. Yeah. All right. We're going to give you a jump start today.
Amen.
We're going to break that worry and fear off of your life. Now you got to do your part. You got to do your part. You got to believe. You've got to let not your heart be troubled. You got to do what we talked about today. So stand up. If that's you, come down here. Come on down here. I want to pray with you. If the devil's been trying to torment you with worry and with fear, then come down here and we're gonna give you a jump start by the Holy Ghost. The Bible says the yoke. That's a yoke. Worry and fear is a yoke. Worry and fear is a yoke that comes on you. The Bible says that the yoke should be destroyed. Everybody said the yoke should be destroyed. The yoke should be destroyed because of the anointing. Hallelujah. I believe that as I lay hands on you this morning, the anointing of God is going to destroy that yoke of fear and worry. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. I want to pray a general prayer, and then I'm going to come and lay hands on you. So those in the congregation, if you'd just stretch your hands out toward these that have come and be believing with us right now. Heavenly Father, we just thank you for your word today. And Lord, I thank you. You love your people. You love us so much. Father, I pray that each one that has come forward today, Father, right now, just let them know how much you love them. Father, right now, reassure them that you know all about this situation. And you've got a remedy. It's not too big. It's not too jumbled up. Even if these things are of our own making, you can fix it. And you want to fix it. And you will. If we'll stop trying to fix it ourselves and put it in your hands. Father, I thank you for your anointing that is administered right now through the laying on of hands. And Father, I believe, according to your word, that the yoke should be destroyed because of the anointing. We thank you for it in the name of Jesus.